This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't have a clue what it is you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that you're doing it with me, all right? I want to get right to it this morning. I will say this. They say that the mark of a developed or developing nation is equally or easily gauged by the way people treat their animals, their children, and their dead. You can tell a lot about a society by the way we get those things done, by the machinations by which we orchestrate the handling of those things. And whenever we do not get it right, it makes you wonder, who are we? You know, you oftentimes hear me cry about the simplicity of development or the simplicity of nationhood, right? And I maintain when you see small countries cannot get little things right, like when to take the flags down, when to put them up, when to fly them at half mast, and I see they still are not being flown at half mast. I do not know how much more dead Edihanna needs to be before we come to the conclusion that we could lower the flag in his honor. That aside, though, these kinds of things, they trickle into our everyday lives. Regrettably, they are actually trickling now into death. We see that the morgue is bursting at its seams. The public hospital authority is crying about people not coming to collect their dead, right? I understand, based on my investigation, it isn't as simple as the PHA is making it sound. There are some things that the PHA must do in order for that problem to go away. And what is even more interesting is we in our society joke about it. I actually heard somebody say over the weekend, if you have plans to die, don't die in the next 2 weeks because we ain't got nowhere to put you. And while that is a good hakiki moment, right? It is something that we must seriously consider. That Bahamians are at a point where our country is not even able to gird us up in death. Yet you pay your taxes. Yet you contribute to your society. You do all the things that they tell you ought to do to be a wonderful, upstanding citizen of the Commonwealth. You struggle all through life. I'm not even going to get into the tire that I blew last week in the porthole. Because if my tax dollars cannot fix that hole, at the very least, the tax dollars ought to ensure that I have a wonderful, functioning morgue to lay in and chill out until my loving family is able to come and get me. What my taxes ought to ensure is that the PHA or the morgue facility or whomever is responsible for generating the necessary documents can do so in a fashion that is timely so that my family can get some closure, right? Debt is the ultimate finality of life. It is where everything ends. And if we, I mean, for Christ's sakes, right? If we cannot get the journey correct, at the very least, I imagine we get the destination correct. I'm not a professional in this area, though, so I've brought a professional to talk to me about it, to tell me what it is that's been going on over there, to let me know exactly what has been her findings over there, how do we go about fixing it. And I invite you to be a part of this conversation, because here's the one thing we all have as a common thread. We all will die. And if you are a good Christian and believe in the Christian faith, then some of us may not die. But even those of us who are alive and remain will be raptured up. That may not be you. And if that isn't you, then you could be right in the morgue with the rest of the dead people. So this is something that is important to all of us. And I think we got to talk about it and figure out how to get it fixed. She's with me this morning. You know her. She is Miss Evergreen Mortuaries. I call her the inimitable. Jenilee Penn, good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me here.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
I have to say, you somehow seem to be more timeless than a watch. I don't know you to have aged any at all ever in my entire life. But there is a catastrophe going on right now in our morgue. I've heard you on occasion say that the problem isn't as simple as the PHA is making it sound. The PHA has to get some things right. And unless they do what it is that they need to do, then people like you cannot get it right. Why are we where we are right now?
All right, well, Levon, let me just take you through the life of a funeral director, a funeral home owner.
Sure.
When I heard, in fact, when I saw the announcement being put out by PHA, I was very taken aback by that, because I couldn't understand for the life of me how that notice could have went out without first having a communication with the funeral home owners and directors. Mm-hmm. There was no corresponding sent out to us. Additionally, PHA knows that there are a few offices that work hand in hand mm-hmm. with the funeral home in terms of getting bodies released. Mm-hmm. Now, the notice stated that funeral homes should come and get their loved receive the persons who they are contracted for, and that families should also come and pick up their loved ones. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, Levon, family members don't want their loved ones in the morgue.
Right.
All right? There are many horror stories.
Right.
All right, as it relates to persons going there to do IDs, mm-hmm. and even so with bodies being in the morgue.
Okay.
And secondly, as you know, because you would have had
I've been around
some close death, you cannot do anything without a death certificate.
Yes.
And a death certificate is only issued when a body is released out of the morgue.
Right.
Now, sometimes we are held up because if a patient dies on the ward and mm-hmm. the doctor is not available to sign, mm-hmm. then we often turn around waiting for a signature on the death certificate in order to go to medical records to get a release. Mm-hmm. That's a simple case, but oftentimes that's a holdup.
Okay.
Then in the cases that I refer to the coroner's matter, mm-hmm. those cases such as homicides, drowning, stabbing, well,
you're talking about the ones deaths, that need an autopsy.
Sudden deaths, yeah, all of those cases that I refer to the coroners, mm-hmm. The process is a little different.
Okay.
Because the first thing that has to happen, the family have to go down to the morgue to do an identification. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes when they go there, they're turned around simply because the morgue hours are limited. They're only open from 9 to 12. Mm. And so if you're not there in time to get a number, you're not going to have an identification done that day. And sometimes they turn around 2-3 days just to have an identification done.
Okay.
And PHA is saying that the load capacity has been met, but why haven't they created a shift system mm-hmm. where you have some persons working in the afternoon and some persons working in the morning to accommodate the families as they come in. Mm. So then let's move to the identification process. After the identification is done, mm-hmm. then it is determined there by the doctors whether or not an autopsy will be done. If the autopsy is to be performed, we know that takes a matter of a couple of days. Mm-hmm. After the autopsy is done, Levon, then the paperwork has to go over to the coroner's office.
Okay.
Now, those cases usually are investigated by the police, right? Mm-hmm. So the coroner will not release the paperwork until they are satisfied with the police report. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when the coroner goes to sign, there's no police report. So the coroner's office is then calling the police department, calling mm-hmm. CDU, trying to obtain this police report so that she can be satisfied, so that she can sign the paperwork, so that we can get the release.
Sure.
Again, sometimes that takes another couple of days. So finally, after we have everything signed, then we go to medical records, and oftentimes there is a long delay there. Mm-hmm. Finally, we're able to get the person out of the morgue.
How long does that usually take? A week? That sounds like about 10 days.
Sometimes it takes longer. Mm. You understand? And so what I'm saying is, if you have a crisis on your hand, mm-hmm. I kind of figured that you would have everybody that you need connected to get this process done, I figured that you would call them to a meeting and express the urgency. Mm-hmm. All right. And let's see how we can link everybody together and work hand in hand to have these paperwork pushed as expediently as possible, mm-hmm. so that we can, you know, free up the morgue. Mm-hmm. Then we do have some cases in the morgue where families do not come and claim. We know that after a period of time, the government usually mm-hmm. will bury those persons.
Okay.
Then we also sometimes have persons who are badly decomposed. My thing about it is this. If you have a mortuary facility mm-hmm. that only has a capacity of 70 bodies, mm-hmm. you're now saying you have 200 and something bodies. Mm-hmm. So those persons that are unknown, those persons who have been unclaimed, also those persons who are badly decomposed, wouldn't it make sense to maybe put those bodies in a separate trailer? And just
didn't they have the trailer at the back of the morgue?
There was a trailer there, mm-hmm. all right? For what purpose, I don't know. But I'm saying that those particular cases mm-hmm. That are not being moved, I kind of figure that you should move them from the area where those cases that are being pushed out, mm-hmm. where they are. And really and truly, we've gotten some cases, Levon. We've had a situation when we received a lady out of the morgue, she had to be directly cremated. And it wasn't the family's choice, to be quite honest.
Because of decomposition.
Right. And because of the process, the length of time it took for us to have gotten the paperwork for her to have been released.
Now, I heard a horror story over the weekend. I mean, I cringed listening to the story. The lady says she goes into the morgue to do the identification process. As you know, I've buried several people. I don't do identification, so I don't really know that process intimately. What I do know is that you need that process in order to get to the death certificate process. But she says she goes in to do the identification, and her mother is there. I mean, in terrible state. There's clots of blood residue in the nose, and actually she's also witnessing a live autopsy being conducted while they are there doing an identification. And I mean, you know, I visited the morgue in the other incarnation of my life. The stench of the morgue alone is enough to scar your mind, right? I can only begin to imagine what it is a family already in mourning must go through as they literally witness an autopsy taking place. How do you imagine we got there? Why do you think the morgue is even in a position where they are finding themselves having to actively exercise their functions during the period that families are visiting?
Well, simply because it's too small. Mm. And, you know, in 2017, we addressed this issue to the then minister, Minister Stans. Mm-hmm. And he had informed us that they were in the process of building us a brand new morgue facility. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a timeline. He said that within 18 months, we would have a new morgue facility. Mm-hmm. So that was in 2017.
Okay.
We know that Hurricane Dorian came.
Mm-hmm.
We know that COVID came.
Right.
But if that was in 2017, we should have at least begin to have seen the commencement of this morgue facility.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened.
Okay.
We've outgrown that space a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And so until we can have our own working space, independently of Princess Margaret Hospital, I don't think it would get any better. Because when you walk into the morgue, there's a little reception area,
mm-hmm.
all right, where persons just accept IDs of the deceased. And then you go into this little room,
mm-hmm.
and yes, they do wheel you out. And there is a door
mm-hmm.
That should be kept closed at all time. Apparently that door was left open, and that family would have been exposed to what they should not have been able to ordinarily see.
Right.
You know, and it tells you about the working conditions the staff have to deal with. And I've said, and I will continue to say, that they are overly worked mm-hmm. and underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions in which they work, honestly, it's deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there needs to be some attention paid desperately to that morgue.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I'll tell you why. Okay. I have no idea at all about mortuary science at all. I don't know what it takes to store a body. I don't know what temperature they need to be stored at. But I imagine that decomposition works the same way in almost every animal, right? If you don't chill it at the right temperature, the meat will rot. And if you're telling me that a morgue that was built for 70 people now has 220 people in it, instantly in my mind, I go to having a freezer too full of chicken, right? The chicken in the back froze hard. The chicken in the front, they rotten. How are we ensure? See, because these aren't chickens. This is somebody's mummy.
Yes.
This is somebody's daddy who they love very much and care about. I won't even begin to get into infant deaths and that kind of stuff, because we've had a couple of those over the last couple of weeks with the COVID uprise. We've also had women that have gone into the hospital, perfectly natural and normal, had a baby, died from COVID. So you're talking about people that weren't sick and went into the hospital. There was a lot of very raw emotion around that. I expected for Jenny to go in, have the baby, come back out. That's how having a baby works. Jenny is now dead. I must now gird up myself to understand that there is now a living child that will be raised without their mother. There is now a very dead woman that was minutes ago very healthy. And I must now be pulled into this situation where I run the risk of Jenny's body not even being in the state that I could funeralize it. I mean, that is just certainly not acceptable.
Well, you know, the lady that shared that story, her mother was, she wasn't in the morgue any more than 48 hours. I know firsthand because we did the removal. She died at home.
Okay.
And in fact, when we got to the morgue, we were told, please don't bring any more bodies because we have no space. We have no space. We have nowhere to put
them. Where would you put it?
Well, you should ask them, PHA.
Right, because I imagine that if the person dies at home, there needs to be an inquiry. Where do they expect you to put the body?
See, the conversation is this. What is the contingency plan?
Right.
All right, because right now, look at Haiti. Haiti just had an earthquake. They had over 1,300 casualties.
Yeah.
What happens right now in the Bahamas if there is a mass casualty? Where do we put these bodies? We've seen on the world stage throughout this pandemic how other countries had to resort to using mortuary trailers.
Okay.
All right, to assist with storing of these human remains. And my thing about it is, this is nothing new to PHA, and this is nothing new to the Bahamas government. All right, we have a about 400,000 persons that live in the Bahamas. About 200 and some thousand in Nassau itself. And we only have a morgue capacity, a morgue that could hold the capacity of 70 persons. That in itself should tell you right there, right now, that we are in a state of crisis. And again, like I said, it goes right back to proper planning. And it goes really right back to PHA, having to really sit down and effectively work with the funeral directors and all of these other persons who, these officers, and let's see how we can work together to have these cases moved.
Now, you're talking about something. See, you know, I grew up in the church, right? And I always tell people, it is wonderful when you talk about the funeral as a service, right? At some point, money involved. And you have to understand that. At some point, money involved. When all of the flowers then wither and everybody didn't cry, a bill around here somewhere. Are you saying to me then, Ms. Penn, and if you're just tuning in, Deadly Penn, the CEO of Evergreen Mortuaries, is with me this morning. We're talking about the crisis at the morgue. Are you saying to me that funeral home directors are in a position that they themselves would be able to offload some of the load from the...
Not offload. I mean, sit down with PHA, along with the coroner, along with the police department, all right, and have a constructive meeting on how do we collectively work together to get these paperwork pushed out quick enough so that we can get these bodies out and they not, you know, they are not just stored there waiting. And like PHA says, we need the directors to come and get the bodies. We need the families to come and get them as if the family want their loved ones in the morgue. We cannot have a funeral without the body. We cannot get paid.
On average, before we get to the pay, because I like to get to the pay, right? I always like to, let's talk about the offering. On an average, what would you say if Evergreen had bodies in the morgue? If Evergreen moved every single one of its bodies that are in the morgue that are proposed to come to Evergreen, how much do you think you affect the number of 220?
I'll tell you right now, we have about six cases in the morgue.
So and six?
Right this moment as I speak, we have about six cases in the morgue and we're waiting for paperwork. We're waiting on autopsies to be completed.
So if Evergreen could carry six, my man them on and the highway could carry six, the people through the corner there could carry six, we're looking at getting some forward movement on this.
Absolutely.
Now let's talk about the money. Are you suggesting to me then that Evergreen could say, listen, I got capacity at my facilities. I could hold up 10 bodies. Give me my six. I want you to know I ain't putting nobody in the ground because, you know, once mama gone in the ground, that's it. Ain't nobody sad no more. Ain't nobody paying no more. But I could hold these bodies and I'll hold them for a period of 2 weeks. I give you all 2 weeks to turn the paperwork around. At least that deals with the issue of capacity. Is that possible?
No, that's not possible because that's not how it works. That's really not how it works. Because when that body is signed out, it is signed out.
Okay.
And it is signed out with all of the necessary documentation and paperwork that they need and also what we need.
So there's really no way that you could help them?
There's no way we can help. Other than, like I said, if we can have our paperwork fast-tracked, then we don't have an issue with getting the bodies out.
Hmm. And I imagine that the reason you need paperwork is because you also need to cover things like insurance benefits.
You absolutely. Need to... So you know the death certificate is very important. Mm-hmm. Persons cannot do anything without it. Mm-hmm. And once it's given to us, of course, we have to get it certified
right.
at the Registrar General. Mm-hmm. So you need it for the insurance purposes. Some people need it for their banking. Some people need it for, well, of course, we need it for national insurance. Some persons, they apply to social services for burial assistance and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You really cannot do anything without it. And so I thought it was very disingenuous for PHA to say, come and get the bodies out of the morgue, when in fact the bodies are of no good use to me
or
the families without
because
the death certificate or being in the morgue.
Putting them in the ground without the death certificate sound like jail work to me.
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And you I don't think you can make it in jail. I could just sit here and see jailing like I can work well for you. Okay, so but there has to be, Ms. Penn, there has to be a solution. I'm trying to figure out how do we, is there a way in your mind, but with all of the expertise that you have, that we shorten the paper process? Is there a way that we expedite the paper process?
You see, my thing about it is this, right? If we had a real coroner's office, mm-hmm. you know, in the United States, at the coroner's department mm-hmm. is where the autopsy takes place, where the coroner office is, mm-hmm. where the pathology lab is, mm-hmm. and all of the relative lab that have to take the specimens for whatever reason, mm-hmm. all right? All of them
are in one location.
Okay. And so if we had an independent morgue facility, mm-hmm. so you can have your paperwork just walk straight through, because then you would have your coroner there, mm-hmm. you would have your lab there, you'd have the pathologist there, you have someone stationed in the police department mm-hmm. who can, of course, do your report. And you have your secretary there who can prepare the report. And everything you just channel straight through.
Okay.
But when you have to go to the morgue to do an identification, wait for an autopsy to be done, wait for the police who was attached to the coroner's court to submit the paperwork over to the coroner's mm-hmm. office, mm-hmm. then wait for the coroner to receive the paperwork coming from CDU or whatever police department, whichever district the person mm-hmm. died, wait for that to come in, and then wait for her, because sometimes she's on the bench, mm-hmm. all right? And so then we have to wait for her then to sign it. And then after it's signed, then we got to go back to PMH, all right, to medical records to get a release, and then go into the morgue to receive the body.
And that's not even the Registrar General's office.
And that's not even the Registrar General.
I had a peculiar situation. My daddy died. He wasn't in PMH, right? How much does this affect the morgue, the goings on of the morgue? My dad died in Doctor's Hospital. We then had to. This was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. But we then had to take him out of Doctor's Hospital, and shuttle him across to PMH's morgue. He had to do a pathology examination because he didn't die in PMH, right? As if Doctor's Hospital isn't a hospital, and that if there isn't medical physicians there that could tell us exactly what happened.
Well, in that particular case, what happens is this. First, let me say this. When someone dies in a doctor's hospital, mm-hmm. that is smooth sailing for us. Let me tell you something.
Really? Because that process took me about 14 days to get through.
I'll tell you why, though. Mm-hmm. But ordinarily, if there's a death in doctor's hospital, mm-hmm. that doctor is there, the death certificate is signed, and the body is released, and the body goes directly to the funeral home.
Mm.
Now, even if the doctor's not there to sign that death certificate, mm-hmm. doctors will release that body to you with authorization from the family, and then you can go back the following day and pick up a death certificate.
Mm.
Now, in the case of your father, what mm-hmm. may have happened is it may have been a sudden death, mm-hmm. and the family may have wanted an autopsy done.
Mm-mm.
No?
Because I was paying for it. I didn't want that. They tell me.
Well, then the doctors may not have been to a place where they felt comfortable enough to sign the death certificate, because maybe his death happened so quickly they couldn't understand it. And so maybe they just wanted an autopsy to be done to clarify exactly what was the cause of death.
It was a 14-day process.
Because your father went to PMH. That's why.
Mm.
And you know why? Because when he would have went over to the PHA, mm-hmm. of course, then...
Now they got to do transfer paperwork.
Yes.
And they then ain't got to paperwork.
Yes. And then there is, a waiting time now, because if they had five autopsies scheduled before your dad, certainly mm-hmm. those five would take place before him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what holds up the process again, the paperwork.
Everything seems to be, you know, the way you were making the morgue sound to me, it almost sounded as
disorganized.
Though was, yeah, like
disorganized.
An absolute clutter.
Disorganized.
Right? And I can't use the rest of the word we're on now, but I, this can't be. We are talking about the final stage of human existence. Certainly, we've got to be better at it than this.
And you know what else? I think is very important. Oftentimes, I've seen myself on the stage always bringing awareness as to what is going on in the funeral industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to call any of my colleagues out, but you know, it would be really nice to see them also
come to the forefront
and speak about these issues, because if they address these issues, then maybe it would be for the better.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And maybe we can begin to see some changes. We cannot just be comfortable because we have a few cases lined off for the week,
mm-hmm.
all right, and because we're making a couple of dollars. No, we have to look at the well-being of our families,
mm-hmm.
all right? And death is a very sacred thing, and we need to at least be able to allow those persons that are placed into that morgue for their families to go there and to see them, you know, being handled with some sense of dignity.
Right.
And so it's going to take more than one voice, all right? I don't have to be here because I have cases too. I have families that were supposed to come and see me this morning, but I altered because I wanted to be here because I wanted to bring some awareness. And what we need to do, we need to pull together and let there be one voice, all right? And address these issues again and again and again until the government hears us and until we can get at least some headway.
You know, I'll tell you what else it sounds like to me. It sounds as though you have a multi-agency problem, which then creates a multi-ministerial problem.
Right.
Is the Minister of Health solely responsible for the goings-on at the morgue?
Well, PHA falls under the Minister of Health.
Yeah, but then you talked about the police department, that's another minister. You talk about the Registrar General, that's another minister.
They all connect because, okay, for instance, we talked about the coroner's matter earlier.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we know the police have to get involved if
sure.
there is a homicide or...
Sure.
Exactly. And so that is where he is involved. And because it's a homicide or a police-involved matter, mm-hmm. then the coroner is involved.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though they don't fall directly under health, because of the alignment to the case...
I'm just trying to figure out how do we give it specific attention. I mean, I know that the morgue comes under the PHA, which automatically makes it a responsibility of the Minister of Health. The Minister of Health, well, he's run with wells, first of all. Secondly, he's inundated with a pandemic. This may just not be priority on his list. As important a thing I think it may be, he may just not see this as something he needs to attend to now. Is there any other ministerial relief that you think, though, can add to what's going on at the morgue? Maybe the Minister of National Security could do something where he assigns some sort of something. I don't know.
Again, Levon, we all have to work. They all have to work together. And that is why I suggested from the beginning that PHA should have called in all of these various offices and let us combine our ideas on how we could, you know, fast track and make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means is this. Maybe health, well, of course, PHA fall under health. So PHA could have had somebody there, mm-hmm. maybe the administrator, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Ministry of National Security or the Commissioner of Police, he could assign someone there,
mm-hmm.
all right, to this meeting. The funeral directors are there, and we're all there bucking heads trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this? And so even if it means just designating you're just going to deal with this.
Right.
You're going to deal with this. And together, there is a flow.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is nobody cares. Nobody's
and there isn't a deputy
checking.
Coroner. There's only a coroner.
There's only a coroner.
Hmm.
You know, and she serves in her capacity.
I imagine that's stressful because she has court.
I imagine it is. She has court and things. She has to deal with the funeral directors, mm-hmm. you know, who's calling her office every minute, coming up there every minute, checking on paperwork, and, you know, oftentimes turn around. And now with the pandemic, you know, they're not as accessible as they were before,
mm-hmm.
you know, because basically you have to be calling every minute, you know. And it's very frustrating. And families, they don't know the half of what we have to go through most of the time just to make everything goes, you know, smooth for them.
People are telling me that bodies are stacked six tall in the morgue. Is that what you find when you go there?
When we went there that Sunday, yeah, I saw like four stacked up on one table.
Wow.
And like I told you, the gentleman said, don't bring any more because we don't have any more space.
And these people, mummy, we talking about?
Yes. And one was the mother of the same lady that saw the autopsy being performed.
Wow.
Who also described the condition of her mom. All right? which seemed to have been progressively in a state of decomposition yeah. after 48 hours. And so now the morgue is still on strike. All right, has been on strike since last week. And so what's happening now to those bodies that are in there with no attention?
What about if they made an arrangement of some sort? How against the law is it to prep a body before it is released? Like, could we somehow do whatever it is that you do to ensure that we retard decomposition?
No, I know. Listen, when we were faced with the situation down there in Abaco mm-hmm. after Hurricane Dorian, mm-hmm. I spoke to the minister and I explained to him we had a space issue.
Okay.
All right. But there were some bodies that were not compromised as yet. And I had asked him if it would have been possible for us to do the procedures in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of letting the body go to a state of decomposition,
mm-hmm.
can we embalm to preserve for the family and then do the paperwork after?
Mm-hmm.
And he would have spoken to the coroner and was able to make some changes in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but is that possible in this instance?
I doubt it. I doubt it because the complexity is too many. And, you know, they really have to be processed correctly.
Mm.
You know, and you can't embalm a body before you go do an autopsy.
Right, because you wouldn't have nothing to autopsy.
Exactly.
Mm.
And so really the greatest problem we have right now is the logistics. And you know something, Levon, we have this great conversation here about the morgue facility here in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
But let's have a conversation about the family violence. There are many islands that don't even have a morgue facility.
Yeah.
Just the other day in Acklands, do you know that the residents, they got together and purchased their own morgue facility? Because when they had a death, they had to take the body on a boat over to Crooked Island to store it in the morgue. Cat Island, then you have Eleuthera, main island Eleuthera,
mm-hmm.
does not have a morgue facility.
Why do the private facilities not have morgues?
Well, I'll tell you, we do. I was just going to get to Exuma
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that beautiful facility you often speak of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they don't have a morgue facility. But at my funeral home, I do have a mortuary cooler where all of the bodies are stored. Whenever someone dies, either mm-hmm. they come to me or the other local funeral home
mm-hmm.
because there is no morgue facility. Moores Island, which is a key island off of Abaco, they mm-hmm. don't have. So many islands in our chain of the Bahamas do not have a mortuary facility, and it's sad because one thing is inevitable is we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And there should be some place where people's loved ones can be stored away in dignity.
Unless, of course, you're one of those who are alive and remain that could be caught up, dying too much.
I pray to be caught up.
Dying could be too much. Anyway, I want to open the phone lines. Let me give people an opportunity to talk to you. If you're just tuning in, Denley Penn is my... Denley Penn Mackey. I always leave that off. My apologies. I've been around a long time. It's taken me a little while. We're talking about the crisis at the moment. That is an absolute crisis.
You can
gauge the development of a nation by the way they treat their animals,
and their children,
mm-hmm. and their dead.
That's right.
And I think what is happening over there is an atrocity, and that is the radio appropriate word, because y'all don't want me to tell y'all what I really think happening over there. We go open the phone lines 323-623-2345-4316-325-4259. You can text me. Please don't call this text line. You know that stuff y'all was doing last week? Don't do that. 422-4796 is the text number you can get into. Text right here says, the bigger picture is, why does Doctors Hospital not have a morgue? How was the plan for the comprehensive hospital approved by the ministry without a morgue? Do you know the answer to that?
Well, I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors Hospital, they operate very, very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have doctors that are seeing their patients that are doing rounds and that pretty much knows what they're treating their patient for. So when they die, there's no need.
No need to morgue them.
Yeah, no need to morgue them. So mm. they're signed out and taken directly to the funeral home.
Okay.
But there are cases that are sent to the ER, a doctor's hospital. And if the person codes and dies there, they're transported over to PMH
right.
so that they can have an autopsy to determine what the cause of death is. So doctor's hospital do not store.
And that is because the official coroner is at PMH.
Not necessarily. That's where the pathology lab is.
Right.
Our doctor's hospital don't have one.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And like I said, if I'm being treated, at doctor's hospital, whether I have cancer, whether I have COVID, whether I have whatever. And when I die, the doctors who are treating me, they know what the cause of death is. They sign the death certificate, and the family calls for the funeral director, and they're taken directly off the ward, directly to the funeral home. And in some cases, at PMH, that happens as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right? When persons die on the ward, and if the doctor is there, even sometimes if the doctor is not there, mm-hmm. we're able to go. So long as we have authorization from the family and there are no issues concerning the cause of death, we're mm-hmm. able to take the body directly of the ward to the funeral home.
Mm.
All right? But it's only those cases where the cause of death is kind of tossed up in the air and the doctors aren't sure.
Mm-hmm.
They will not sign a death certificate if they do not know the immediate cause of death.
You know, sometimes my voice finds its way into the inner city. So just in case it's working today, I'm not exactly sure. Pookie, y'all don't kill one another for a little bit because we don't have nowhere to put people in the morgue. Okay? Blacks and what y'all, let's work this out now because it's getting serious. It ain't make no sense. I got one bunch of gangsters pile up in the morgue and mama, who was a good Church of God woman and been in the Church of God all her life, when she dead, we ain't got nowhere to put mama. And Taylor got dead next, because that's mama's sister. And now we ain't got nowhere to put them. Pookie, y'all stop this, okay?
But there are some cases also that where persons don't even have to go into the hospital when there's a death. For instance, if mama's at home and mama has an attending physician,
mm-hmm.
the doctor comes and see mama on a weekly basis, mama pass.
Mm-hmm.
The family will call the doctor. Mm-hmm. The doctor will come, check mama's vital, make mm-hmm. sure she's gone. And pronounce her, sign that death certificate, and from there, mama goes straight to the
funeral. My God, the D.
Yes.
And then the funeral director carry her.
Directly to the funeral home.
See why it's good to be a good Church of God, mama. Anyway, we go into a break. I hear my music. Don't move. When I get back, the lines are open. I see the calls. Hold on. It's a short break. We'll be right back. Denley Penn Mackey's with me. We're talking about the morgue crisis. We'll be back after the break.
Bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down and we.
No matter how careful you are, sometimes accidents happen. When it comes to your auto insurance coverage, we know what you need. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we provide superior customer service through a quick and efficient claims department that you can trust to get you quickly and safely back on the road again. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
In these dangerous times, you need protection that you can depend on. International Security Alliance will keep your business and assets secure. Our team of skilled and professional officers provide an efficient and effective means to mitigate threats to our clients. Our services include executive chauffeuring, corporate office security, asset management, marina security, and canine security. Get the protection that you can trust. Call International Security Alliance at 601-0766 or at 601-0767. That's International Security Alliance. Enforcement through reinforcement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Let's go straight to the phone lines because I don't want these people cussing me out today. I like to don't answer the phone. Let's take the first call, Allenson. Good morning, caller. You're on.
A pleasant morning, Mr. Miller.
How are you, Sparky?
Right here. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Tookie ain't listening to you.
Mm.
Tookie ain't got no radio on the basketball court. When Tookie leaves the dog on basketball court playing 21 or 3 aside,
mm-hmm.
he going to sit on the bench to have a Guinness.
Yeah, but sometimes my voice finds itself into the inner city. I don't know how they do it.
Sometimes. They be texting. What's up?
Okay.
And then Tookie can have a little BD after that. So Tookie, hear you. Okay.
All right, Sparky.
Thank God, Sparky, I'm home and listening
man,
to you.
Man, Sparky, I appreciate you so much. 323-623-2543-163-2542. Man, I believe Pookie, them listening, man. You don't think so? Let's take it out of a good morning, caller. You're on.
Levon, and good morning, Mrs. Penn Mackey.
You're leaving off my titles this morning.
Yeah, you are the, what are you now?
Sir Levon of Anglestone.
You're right.
Of the House of Anglestonia.
The House of Anglestonia. Listen, I know this is not a solution to the immediate problem, but I think I remember hearing that there was a proposal some time ago to build a facility somewhere on Carmichael Road to hold multiple bodies, substantial amount of bodies.
The minister never gave us a location, but he said to us, in that meeting in 2017 that there was going to be a new mortuary, a new morgue facility that was going to be built outside of the Princess Margaret Hospital. But the location was never disclosed.
And as far as you know, nothing was ever done?
Nothing has been done.
Okay, so it's just after all is said and done, more is still said and done.
Yes, sir.
Well, I like to think about it as them having it on the drawing board. This way everything you see is
yeah,
they have it on the drawing board.
Listen, I don't know, but I think we just have a problem of working together. I mean, this situation with the COVID, you know, we are paying these official big bucks, man. I'm sure, as Lester Cox says, the answer lies within us. Mm-hmm. If we sit down and we think this out, we could solve this problem, but it's egos and this and that, and, you know, meanwhile...
But you have to first be willing to speak to the persons who can offer some solution.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, whoever it is, the most honorable, whoever's in charge of the country, mm-hmm. need to, I mean, at the end of the day, the buck stops with him, and he needs to call whoever he needs to call, and listen, and tell his people, listen, I want the situation resolved now.
It really needs to be resolved.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you, caller. How long, just based on your expertise in the area of mortuary science, how long does it normally take to construct a morgue?
Well,
it just needs to be a big room of freezers, right?
How long did it take the Chinese people to build that hospital?
If the Chinese don't do it. Because the Chinese can do it while you're sleeping. But if it ain't the Chinese building it, how long do you average?
I don't suspect that it should take more than a year, if that long. Mm. I really don't suspect that it should take that long. I mean, if they have...
And in order for it to be effective, you'd need a pathology lab.
Yes,
of course. A coroner's office.
You'd need the police. Well, of course, the officer who's attached to the coroner.
Okay.
Definitely. And of course, secretaries and personnel who can deal with families.
Okay.
You know, when you walk into the morgue, I don't know.
No one is sitting there. I could tell you. You get into the morgue. I'm sure you've been there, much to my chagrin. You get inside. No one's sitting there. You kind of just wait around in this awkward smelling space for a bit because it smells like death. Somebody in scrubs comes out and says, "How can I help you?" And then you says, "I'm here for the body of," and then I've never done the identification process. They said, "Well, did you bring the paperwork?
Did you bring the release?
You bring the release order from Doctor's Hospital. You bring the ID." And then they send you over across the street to go see the pathologist. She sits you down in the little room. Wonderful, wonderful lady, that wears glasses. She has a little talk with you about what she needs to do, blah, 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 blah. She does her pathology thing. You come back 2 days later. She tells you, "Well, this is what they died from." And then you're able to go call your funeral director person. But there's no, "Hi, welcome to the morgue. How can I help you?" That's what you're looking for, you're fresh out of luck with that.
"A good morning, my condolences."
Yeah, you're fresh out of luck with that.
Yeah,
you're good, change of God, mommy. She dead, and that's it.
But I would make an appeal right now to the Minister of Health, Renwood Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask of him, please, to take some time out of your busy schedule to just deal with this one serious, urgent matter. All right, I need you to get a hold of your persons in charge at PHA, and I need you to direct them to get all of the persons who can make this thing happen, get us all together, and let's see how we can effectively work to have those bodies removed.
Mm-hmm.
Those cases in the morgue that are scheduled to be buried, those unknown, those persons who have not been cleaned, those persons who will not be cleaned, can we please make some arrangements to have them buried so that we can have some more space?
What is the timeline for that?
Like, usually 6 months.
6 months?
Yes, 3 to 6 months.
If no one
claims you, there are a lot of unclaimed babies, there are a lot of unclaimed persons. So let's get rid of those
persons.
How
do we get there, though? How do we get to people not claiming people out of the morgue?
Well, you know, you have some persons who have extreme financial issues. You have some mothers who go in there and have babies die. And when they hear, you know, the costs that are associated with buried or cremated and whatever, so they decide, well, they'll just leave them there. You have vagrants. You have persons who were found who probably, maybe their families don't even know that they're deceased. I don't know. They never put in a missing report. But you do have some persons there who are unclaimed. And for those persons who have been there and who have marked that, who have passed that time, let's probably have them buried,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that we can have more space and we can work with what we have more efficiently. But most importantly, Minister Wells, we need you to pay some very, 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 very
specific attention
to what is happening right now as it relates
to...
This is a crisis.
This is a crisis. Let's take some more calls. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Good morning, Lehman. How you doing, man?
I feel great. How are you?
That beautiful lady in front of you, she's so decent. She's so diplomatic and so poised. I don't think Mr. Wells got to her, you know.
That's all.
What happened is this.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wells, if you don't do what you have to do, in short order, when you ring that bell, Bamboo Town, gone. Okay? Fix the mug. Okay?
That sound like a clear communication to me. Let's take another one. Good morning, Carly. You're on. Carly, you there?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Miller.
Hey, Duet.
Good morning. I don't even call her Mistress Penn. I call her Lady Penn.
Thank you.
But I heard Miss Penn said people need to assist. Ma'am, you're right there. Your field expertise and your know-how, and your record speak for itself.
Were you listening to the show, Duvet? She said.
No. I'm talking for Miss Penn. Listen, Mr. Miller, let me finish this.
Sure.
You have persons like Miss Penn who have been doing things from the hurricane time, and they're bypassing her. I want to say this to you, and I want this to steep in your mind, Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Politics in this country, politics comes down to the third tissue that sometimes you go and buy in the store. You have a good day, Miss Penn. Keep up the good work, ma'am.
Appreciate you, Duet.
Well, you know, I'm happy that you said that because I know that I've heard one or two comments sometime last week when I came out with this, I guess, in the forefront, speaking about this, you know, about it being political. You know, Levon, all of my life, I have served in one industry.
Yeah, this has been the only job you've
ever had. That has been the only job I've ever had. Professionally, I am a funeral director. I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And before there was any political aspiration, I have always been in love with serving.
And you're the best in the business. I might as well tell you. This is a plug. Gotti and you all send me the bill for this order, right? This the best in the business. If you care about the people who dead around you, send them by Danley. She can take good care of them. And when you go to her facilities, it's nice.
Thank you.
Like, I hate funeral homes. I absolutely, you've done funerals for me. You know, I hate the entire process. But when you go in there, you feel so nice. They got little sound like soft Chinese music playing in the background, waterfall in the background. They bring you tea, sit you down in the room. I mean, it is just such a wonderful experience.
And that's the way it should be, even at the morgue. Because could you imagine how nervous people are when they, they just got the news that one of their loved ones has passed, and they go into out now to do the identification and to see mama or to see my son for the first time. And so those butterflies are flying in your stomach. You're nervous. You're filled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And so you walk in there, and the first thing you smell is this foul odor. Yeah. And the first thing you have is, I should say untrained, unprofessional people greeting you. You know,
Late walk in the back room.
And then you walk in there to go see your son, and then you see somebody else being autopsied. That's a horrific experience. And so we need to get it right.
Yeah.
We need to get it right. And I'm calling on my colleagues, too. Let's get it right. We need to come together and make our voices be heard together collectively.
Are you all open to having a meeting with the minister if he says, listen, I have no expertise in this area. I need funeral directors to tell me how to get it right.
Absolutely. We would love that. And in fact, I'm going to anticipate getting a call from Minister Wells because I'll go on the record and say that I've had one or two issues where I had to call him for some intervention, and he was able to get it done.
Okay.
So I'm going to call you out publicly, Minister Wells. Please, we need to hear from you. We need this matter at the PHA hospital morgue to be rectified, and there are some advice that can be given. We're willing to partner with you, the PHA department, to get this whole thing done. We just need to get it done, and it needs to work more effectively than it is now.
Well, to his credit, right? And I don't typically give the Minister of Health much credit. I will say this, though. I had an opportunity to work with him when he was Minister of Transport. Randall Wells is the kind of guy, he will not get it done without flaw, but it will be done without delay. This is one of those instances, Minister, where we need that characteristic of yours to kick in. We don't mind if we don't get all the logistics correct. Let's try to, though, because there's people mummy we talking about. But let's see if we could get this done as expeditiously as possible. You know, like you did the bus stop thing? They tell Randall Wells we need bus stops. He said, but the problem is, we said, well, we got a Gazette. Then he said, let's put the bus stop down. They could put them in the Gazette. I said, let's go with this guy. And so sometimes that's what you need in public life, right? Just as judiciously as possible, though, because, again, death is the ultimate finality of life. It is. I tell them I believe death is the actual jewel of life, and that's why when you go, they put you in a jewelry box. Because when you come, you ain't come in no jewelry box. But when you leave, we make sure put you in a nice little jewelry box and send you where you're going. And so people need that. These are already difficult times with all of the funeral restrictions and people having to actually... I saw one of the most gut-wrenching things last year. I actually witnessed a man having his funeral at the gravesite. I couldn't imagine having to open the box at the gravesite. That'd be the only time I get to open it. It'd be open for 2 minutes and they close it. Because then these are people, mommy and daddy, we talking about. All right? Tenley Benmaki, thank you so much for joining
me
this morning.
Thank
you so much. You've
been
a wonderful guest. Let me get this one over here because this is a good one. Good morning, Mr. Miller. It's heart-wrenching to hear this kind of thing happening to loved ones. What more is it going to take for this government or future governments to think about establishing a new hospital centrally located in the capital? PMH is the primary hospital for the entire Bahamas. Patching up this hospital is no longer going to cut it. We finally have outgrown the PMH. Anyway, that's my music. That means that's my time. Denley Benmaki, thank you so much
for
joining me. You know how to find us. You over there at Evergreen. They dead good. I mean, listen, your people is look as dead as they could ever be. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Don't move. They've got news. It's now.
In us, resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands.